What was it like switching from the Marines to cybersecurity?
Tough in the beginning, but you know, once I got my feet wet, it definitely sets me up for very good success. Once you slug it out and then you start finding your niche, what you want to do, I think you'll be able to find yourself a really good job.
Who says tech can't be human?
What's going on, Hacker Valley fam? Welcome back to the show. With me, I have a great guest, friend, and someone who's doing something really cool in cybersecurity. I have Nate Malico. Nate is threat intel engineer at ContraForce. Also, someone that's young, hungry, doing their thing. Most importantly, Nate, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. We met through your father, who is David Malico, also one of our podcasters on the Hacker Valley Media Network. He's launching a show, the Professional CISO Podcast. And then when I met you, I was shocked. I didn't know that his son was in cybersecurity. So what's it like working in the same industry as your parent?
It's actually really cool. I get into a lot of stuff that normal people probably don't get into. So, obviously taking that for granted. It's really good because I get a good mentor, somebody that's been there, done that, and can talk to me a little more straightforward than probably most mentors can, because, you know, it's your dad. Like, you know, we can have those harder conversations. I got into places that I never thought I would get to, talk to people I never got to talk to before, probably on my own. So definitely a nice leap forward compared to probably some people.
Did he twist your arm trying to get you in?
No, he kind of recruited me. He kind of threw the whole, I'm a veteran, served in the Marine Corps for 5 years, and he kind of was like, hey, you know, I think you'd be really good for this. You've done security before in the Marine Corps. I think you'd be really good for this because you got that extra eye, kind of that gut feeling. And I was like, you know, you're right. I think, that sounds kind of cool. I had done a networking class before at the local college, and I thought it was interesting enough to decide to make it a full career. And then quickly after the first 6 months of training, I was like, I don't think I'm leaving this industry. So it wasn't an arm twist by any means. It was definitely probably a little, you know, coaxing in the beginning, but once I found my footing, I was like, this is it.
I bet there's a lot that you could do, and you and David have different roles and experiences that you're applying today. What was it like switching from the Marines to cybersecurity? Was that an easy transition?
No, definitely not. For sure, because, you know, I did stuff in between. I was trying to go be a firefighter paramedic, quickly realized that was not my forte. And when COVID hit, it was almost like an instance where I got to find something. Going from being on your feet all day to being sitting all day behind a computer, definitely a different life. But I think a good life. I've learned quite a bit about computers that I never would have thought before. One of those you don't know what you don't know kind of things. And so vamping into the computer life, it was definitely interesting. But I wasn't totally lost. Luckily, growing up with David and having him as my father, there was some, you know, bits throughout life where I was like, okay, I get it now. So,
how long have you been in the industry now?
Going on 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. Okay. Started out working at an MSSP, actually owned by my father. So he was my mentor, got trained.
And boss.
Oh, yeah.
And dad.
It was very interesting dynamic. So I get a lot of, like, kind of, you know, kind of side-eye moments. But it wasn't like that. It was very professional. You know, I had a very rough 6 months of training, learning everything from business to security engineering, being a security analyst, being, you know, customer service, customer success, stuff that I was like, I never knew that I would have to do this to be in these kind of positions. But I definitely learned a lot. After those six months, I felt like I had my feet solid underneath me. Very basic. Hey, there's an alarm going off. This is the information it's telling me. Pass it to the customer. And then eventually I was able to lead a team and work as a cyber team lead. So it definitely was tough in the beginning, but, you know, once I got my feet wet, it was definitely worth it. So
I bet it was extremely helpful, maybe even frustrating at moments, to work for your dad, getting into the industry. Do you think that it would have been different, your trajectory getting into cybersecurity, if you didn't have David around?
Like I said before, yeah. I mean, having a mentor like David and having opportunities through David like I do, it definitely sets me up for very good success. Not having that there, actually, I go to the local college, Collin College, just, you know, kind of right down the road. And so I get to talk to the guys and gals that are there trying to bootstrap it, essentially, and trying to deal with that. And hearing the issues that they have trying to get into the industry, it's crazy, because, you know, all these kids are like older people too, because granted, they, you know, there's some people trying to get into cybersecurity because it's such a big industry that we need a lot of people. But, you know, listening to these people talk about how difficult it is putting into 100 applications, not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, we have some good teachers at Collin College, but there's some times where we need somebody that's kind of that mentor, kind of that, hey, this is what we're expecting of you guys. Mm-hmm. Granted, I think there is still that gap between, you know, you try to find a job and it's like, oh, 3 to 5 years of experience. You're like, dude, how am I supposed to get that? Like, there's no way possible. I'm going to school, you know, working my butt off, trying to, you know, make the good grades to be able to separate myself from everybody else, you know. So working with these, you know, these kiddos and try to explain, hey, you know, you got to get out there. You got to go network. You got to go. A good phrase that I heard recently was you got to participate. Well, what does that mean? Well, you got to go out there. You got to go to things like ISSA, go to things like CISO-XC, and get your face out there. You know, you don't have to chat everybody's ears off, but just, you know, go shake some hands and go out there. Now, from the other side, I think some companies need to help fill that gap a little too. Granted, it can be hard to do that, but I think if we can get more internships and apprenticeships and programs that can fill in that gap and have that, quote, experience that they're looking for, I think we can get more really good qualified people into the industry and be able to bolster the industry as a whole.
Right. When I got in, I refused to do one thing, and it was help desk. I think that working in the SOC is a little bit of like that new help desk. A lot of people don't necessarily want to work in the SOC, but they might feel as though they have no choice because they need 3 to 5 years experience to get threat intel engineer title. For the people that you mentor or people that you speak to, how do you get them past the entry-level job requirement? Is there a way around it breaking into cybersecurity today?
I think it's a little tough to get past some of the junior level. Speaking from experience, I think working as a threat intelligence engineer and have had worked in a SOC, there's stuff in the SOC that I would not know to be able to help my job today. Mm. You know, it kind of sucks hearing that, and it's like, oh, I gotta go slug it out. It's like, you'll eventually find your niche where it's like you can get away from that. Now, you know, I was talking to some of my engineers at work, and they're like, yeah, if I didn't have the SOC, I wouldn't, again, be able to do what I did today. And so I think if you can't, because there's still issues trying to get into a SOC even, because they want, you know, still 3 years, or like how,
and right,
the help desk, anything that can get you in there. Even going back to the SOC analyst thing, like being nights, if it's a 24/7 gig and they got guys at night, dude, volunteer. It's going to suck for a little bit, and you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to sleep very well. But once you slug it out and then you start finding your niche, what you want to do, I think you'll be able to find yourself a really good job. Plus, you've already built that experience up, right, along with it. So,
when you said go out and participate, I think that's the best thing that you could do. Even if it's at your job, like you're saying, take that night shift, see what it's like. Maybe you'll enjoy it, maybe you won't. But understanding that is still knowledge. Understanding what your preferences are, where your strengths are at, I think it could lead to a lot of discovery and opportunity. How have you been participating, being 4 years into the game? What's your level?
Yeah, so with me, I try to, granted, I have a really good resource to be able to get into some places that probably other people want to get into.
CISO-XC, executive conference.
Yeah, exactly. So, for me, it's a little easier. But I try to backfill. What I mean by that is I tried to get, if I have an extra ticket or if I have an extra, a plus one or whatever, I've invited people, Granted, not too many can come out because it's, on a random Thursday in the middle of the day and it's like, I got to go to work or whatever. But, I try to help the other side of the ballpark where I'm trying to push myself, this way toward the leadership, toward, all the other CISOs. I'm still trying to over here try to help some guys and gals out. So, stuff like I said, CISO-XC, the ISA, even virtual stuff, just learning from other people. Like SANS, for instance, I'm on there all the time learning about different things. So participate where you can. Granted, sometimes tickets can be expensive, so I totally get it. But if it's, a local chapter that you can go visit at, the school or whatever, try to get into there.
Yeah. When I got into cybersecurity, I think one of the top positions that you could get was head of security. Like, that was the title. And today, a lot of my peers, they want the CISO title. They think that that's the title to end all titles. What about from your perspective, what is that goal that you want to reach or that title that you ultimately want to achieve?
Well, whenever I worked in the SOC, I wanted to become the manager. That was the first thing. I wanted to work toward being a manager of the SOC. For me now, having a little bit more experience than I did a couple of years ago, I want to be a security architect. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I think with the knowledge I've had and kind of the experience I've had, marrying that up with the business side that I've learned over the last few years, I think I can be a pretty good CISO. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back there, but I think, mapping it out more of in that sense of mapping it out and trying to figure out, what I need to learn. I think, being technical and being business savvy at the same time, you could be a really good CISO. Yeah. So, maybe CISO in 10 years won't be the be all right now. I think most young security people are like, yeah, CISO. And, maybe I'm still too young in my career where Nate, CISO isn't exactly what you want to do, but right now that's kind of where I'm gearing toward, working the tech side of it, trying to get out there and learn the business side of it, talk to those people out there and see where it takes me.
I saw this report from Hitch Partners that was talking about the salaries for CISOs. There's private companies and then there's publicly traded and there's even government organizations, public sector. And in this report, it said that CISOs that work at privately owned companies that are S&P 500 or even publicly traded, average salary is $450,000 base, not including bonus and stock. Is that what gets you excited about being a CISO?
Honestly, no. I get told over and over and over again, cybersecurity has so much money into it.
Yeah.
There's many, many jobs that you'll find yourself making a ton of money.
Yeah.
Right? Your co-founder, he's making some really good money at Netflix. He wasn't a CISO.
Right.
And so it motivates me a little bit because then I know I can supply for my family, right, in that aspect. But, for me, it's the experience. The reason I'm at ContraForce is because of what I do today. Mm. If that takes me to be a leader there, cool. If it takes me to go be a leader somewhere else, that's fine. I think money draws in a lot of people and that's okay. I understand, I've eaten the peas and carrots at home and now being comfortable, I want to be even more comfortable, but, it doesn't motivate me as much as the experience and what I get to do on a daily basis. I think I'd rather make decent money loving what I do than make a ton of money hating what I do.
Powerful. That's the way to go. That is how you do it. When you look at your peers, people that are in a similar situation, out of college or the Marine or the military and few years of experience, what's your piece of advice for them to kind of walk that same path that you're walking, but you're walking at an accelerated pace?
Well, it's probably the hardest thing to do, but I would try to find a mentor. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult because it takes a lot of time for that person to be a mentor. But if you can find someone and that will maybe give you a fraction of their time, you know, like, again, very special situation I have, but I still think having a mentor helps because you learn some of the things that you don't know that you're supposed to know. Again, participate. Go out to those things, shake hands, introduce yourself. Hey, I'm an aspiring security engineer. I want to be a pen tester. I want to be on the red team. Go find those people. Go do your research. Hey, who lives in the area, right? Who might be at this event that I'm going to? Who's some of the vendors at this conference I'm about to be at? You know, and find somebody, put a face to them, and then go introduce yourself to them. These are all the things that I've learned and been taught over the last few years. And I think if you put yourself out there and you are not annoying, but you're persistent, you're persistent, but not annoying. I think you'll be able to, find yourself very well.
That's the way to go. Be persistent. Don't be annoying. Find a mentor. I think that is a sound advice. That's something that everyone should be doing. I feel even for me, someone that practice cybersecurity for a long time that is on the fringe through media, I still need more mentors. So I think that is great advice. Nate, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy day to jump on the mics with me. For anyone that wants to stay up to date with Nate, be sure to check out the show notes and description wherever you're listening or watching. And with that, we will see everyone next time. Sure.